Okay, this is the May 5th meeting of the Coordinating Committee. We are short of a quorum. Present are, I'll call your name, and then if you'll just say, I'm here. Tibetiaco?
Present.
Richard Uzzell?
Present.
LaVon Williams?
Present.
George Ryder? Present. Was that Tracy that came on?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I was trapped on a train, but I'm here now.
Okay. We have five. That's not quite a quorum, is it?
Tracy, how many do we have?
Well, I believe we have 10.
On the committee? No, we went through this last time. We have 3 officers. We have 5 reps from the station. It's 8. And then we have LaVarna and Arlene. It's 10, right. So yeah. our quorum is 6. How many people do we have?
5.
Including me.
Yeah, so we thought we'd make a tentative decision and ratify it later, if that's okay, and I'll give you back the chair.
Okay.
Do we know somebody else we could call?
Can you confirm for me who's here?
Yeah, it's Nia, Richard, myself, LaVarna, and you. That's it. Joey said he's not going to be here.
Okay.
I guess Alonzo is also on from PFW, and Rico is on from KPFK. And I suppose we could call them and see if we can get a quorum or just proceed informally.
I guess what we'll have to do is proceed informally, I think, and give a recommendation.
Okay.
So the agenda that I had in mind meeting did involve a little bit of looking at Los Angeles and seeing if there were any changes that we wanted to make, as well as looking at the information.
Tracy?
Bill Crozier sent about an executive session at the next PMB meeting on the 21st.
I'll take care of that. I'll just schedule it.
Take care of it. Okay. Do people want to spend a minute or two talking about Los Angeles, or do you simply want to cut to the chase and talk about the next meeting and its location?
We need to also talk about the October meeting, I guess, the report.
Okay. Any thoughts about doing a brief Los Angeles post-mortem? I mean, there's only 5 of us here. It should take very long, but given the smallness of the number, I don't know if people feel that it's a good use of time or not.
Well, I guess I could say a few things. I thought the arrangements went fine. There were some screw-ups on the transportation. But the room was fine, with one exception. the space was lovely. I thought it was a nice place to be, and I thought it was a good choice. I'd go back again to that place.
Yeah, but
it was inexpensive. So I didn't see anything major that we could have learned from it that we might not want to do again.
Does anybody else want to?
LaVarna. It was lovely, except for my experience with the bed bugs. So, I had that huge allergic reaction. We were given another room across the hall after I was bitten by the bed bugs. And I talked with the general manager of the hotel on that Monday. And, he agreed immediately to come for the room that I was in and that I'd share it with Arlene. And then later I spoke with him, and he wanted to comp us for 5 more nights. So a total, I guess, of 9 room nights he would comp us for the fact that the room that the bed I was in had bed bugs. And he also said that, I guess, the company that came out to to look at it, found that the bed bugs were only in the room 318, the original room, and not the room that we had transferred to, which was right across the hall, 313. And that Shyam also had some bugs in his bed, so he like he changed rooms, I think, two times or something. And afterward, again, the general manager agreed to comp us for the room that we were in, the nine room nights, and he said that he would definitely take care of any of my expenses, which I have. You know, I had to go to Kaiser. My doctor wanted to treat me, and for not just the allergic reaction, but the fact that I slept in a filthy bed, so therefore there could have been other little creatures, which I used the meds, and it made me sick too. So, you know, I'm just kind of dealing with that. I can't go into a hotel or any place. I'm still itching and stuff. So that was not good at all and basically, you know, what ideally I would like him to comp us for all of our rooms and for exposing us to the conditions, because, you know, later summer was there, we found that the mattress covers had not been washed, like really filthy. So that's like an ongoing thing. In fact, I'm sending him my little expenses and confirming that he agreed to comp us for that amount. I contacted the Los Angeles Health Department. They were supposed to go out and look at it also. I was waiting for a report from them. So, you know, the hotel had a serious problem. I did not put them on the bed bug registry, which there is a registry for that. So, but overall, I think that it was the part, because I was only there for the 2 days plus Monday. So we really had a productive meeting. It's like when the staff goes out to these meetings, I think, and even for the board members, if they can, if they could stay the second day and then spend some time in the station, you know, meeting with the staff, that I think really builds up, you know, our relationship in terms of, you know, what value that all of us bring to the foundation. And that particularly any staff should, I think, spend, you know, an extra that Monday, you know, and set up meetings to work with the other staff there to, and that really worked really well, because I got an opportunity to meet with people I talked to and met in for a long time, like Mariana in archives. I never met her, but we'd worked together all this time, so that was really great. So, and we all had the people who were there. We had lunch together, so it's really a good team building effort. So I think that when we can, we should try to do that. And also the board members, if you could stay that Monday after the meeting to meet with people at the station. And you know, I really like to thank, you know, Jennifer and Rico, you know, like really worked hard to make this, you know, put this together. And I didn't really have a problem with transportation. And in fact, the last night I did not spend the night in the hotel, because Kaiser advised me not to do that. So, again, I thought it, you know, overall the part that I was there for, you know, I thought it went well. And I think that, you know, it kind of shows that the board is more working toward goals and trying to move these meetings so that, ideally, I think that what we need to do is on our committees is basically to have all of the motions already, you know, agreed, you know, already passed in committee, and that we and in the board meetings we can just you know, basically, you know, have some discussion and vote on the motions, and that some of those motions that are really like in line with our mission as far as supporting various causes worldwide, I think that we should really put those on a consent calendar. And then perhaps have the secretary just read them off, and then we can vote them up or down. That's it. Thank you.
Any other reactions to Los Angeles? Richard, Nia?
I was fine. It was a little cool when you're in New York. You're looking for warmer weather, but the weather is the weather. But I was fine. I didn't have I don't have any complaints. I was fine. Thank you.
I did fine. I think that me laying in the bed with my bed bugs, I think I killed the bed bugs.
Well, I think I think the general manager owes us for that too.
Well, this is Tracy. I will call on myself, and then we'll move the agenda. I just want to note that after much, shall we say, intense conversation, that our experiment with having, I think, conversations of the whole in our board meetings was not quite as catastrophic as we feared. And I think, and if I may say it, I think some people actually enjoyed it. And it is something that we may, you know, take into our planning for future meetings.
This is Nia.
Without perhaps feeling like the sky is falling. Yeah, Nia.
I have to ditto that, Tracy. And I thought it also built camaraderie with different people, but that was a good idea. So it could be something that if we have that some folks aren't very happy with, to do something like that. For example, the recalcitrant LSB motion, I think some good conversations came out of that from what I heard. I was not in that group, but that was a good idea. The only thing is, we didn't spend much time on the finances of the foundation. So that I found a little disappointing considering the financial crisis that we're in. So it is hoped that at the next meeting we can somehow address that. I think we definitely need to have a serious conversation about that.
Fair enough. Okay, well, I think at this point we're going to move the agenda, and I think what the planning will be is that the next meeting that we have will focus a bit on the agenda for Berkeley. I don't think at this point in early May that we need to do this.
I think we may have added some people. We may be at quorum.
Yeah? Okay. Is there anybody on the call that just joined? I don't think so. Hello? It
maybe
doesn't
not.
Sound like it.
There are six people on the call, but I think one of them is Otis.
It doesn't do us any good.
No. Nice to have
All right. Well, it's wonderful to have. Okay. So let me move forward the agenda to sort of the one decision or pending item that lies before us. And I guess since we're a non-quorumed group, what we will say is that we considered, and this is our recommendation. The problem, and I'm going to put this out, is that we have vendors that are waiting for contracts and that we're under the impression that they will find out fairly soon that we are going to have some pricing and availability problems past a certain point. So I don't think this decision, however we're going to finally make it, is going to be able to wait until the 21st of May. So, George, if you could take that into accordance with your planning about what happens after this meeting.
Okay. Okay, I think that, in fact, this decision does not have to be ratified by the PNB. Basically, the executive director, I think, can take our advice and make the arrangements. I don't think
okay.
The PNB would care to make the decision, for that matter. So I think we can go ahead and say what we think ought to be done and let Arlene make it happen.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so here's where we are. Just to be clear, a couple of people have been looking at sites in Berkeley. One of them is Lynn Magno, who works for the national office. The other is me, who took it seriously when you guys said at the last meeting I was your Berkeley point person. To let you know, some of the sites that I looked at and was not able to make happen, we looked at the Berkeley City Club, which is an old Julia Morgan landmark in Berkeley. We talked to the campus, including both the Clark Care and the Berkeley campuses. We talked to the International House, which was the site of last year's meeting in Berkeley. And everybody had schedule conflicts. In terms of hotels, we then were able to receive three completed quotes, and again, a number of hotels had schedule conflicts. One was from the downtown Oakland Marriott and was extremely expensive. So basically, we're down to two semifinalists. and I sent you guys a sort of a brief comparison of those two. One is the Hilton Garden Inn, located in the city of Emeryville, which is about, 10 miles from Berkeley. The other is the Hotel Durant, which is about 7-8 blocks from the station and is in downtown Berkeley. The quotes are fairly similar. In other words, one gives us a slightly better rack room rate, but charges a bit more for food and refreshments, which is, of course, an issue because we have to feed everybody. The other charges us a slightly higher room rate and gives us a much better deal on the food. So to my way of thinking, adding it up, they are basically net bids. So the question is really one of what we think is best for the PMB. Did everyone have a chance to take a look at that document? Or do you want me to kind of go over again?
I did.
Anybody okay. not?
Chris
is there anybody who didn't?
Chris sent out a document where she got the information and she put it on a spreadsheet showing the two hotels. Did you get a copy of that, Tracy? Did you see that yet?
You sent a spreadsheet.
Chris sent it out.
No, I don't have a spreadsheet from you, Lovell. Oh, here we go. Hotel cost comparison. It was sent by Chrissy.
And from Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you're not dealing with the food there. No, that's not an accurate comparison.
Okay. Because
we have to deal with lunch. We have to deal with lunch. With the breakfast and lunch scenario, and you've left that out.
You were saying the Emeryville thing was 10 miles away. It doesn't look that far on the map. It's between Berkeley and, I think it's like in the corner of Berkeley. And
yeah,
okay.
It's 4 miles away. And the other one is 4.1 miles away from KFA, and the Hotel Durant is like 1.57 miles.
All right, well, let me do a little bit of sort of informational stuff. Taking a look at the hotel breakdown, what's been left out of here, the Hotel Durant and the Hotel Garden Inn, is the issue of our lunch on Friday and Saturday, which we need to eat. The Hotel Durant offered us a $42.95 per person, per day deal, breakfast for Friday and Saturday, which included our lunches on the days that we work, and that was for $42 a person. The Hilton Garden Inn charged us $72.95 per person for that breakfast and lunch package. I don't think we can avoid lunch on our working days. We need to eat it.
This is Nia. Now, keeping in mind that there is this $150 per director per day stipend. Mm-hmm. So how does that fit into this $72?
If we are in, for example, Emeryville, and this is the kind of point that I wanted to make, there is sort of a lunch place at the hotel, but there is very little other food within walking distance, both for lunch or for dinner, and it is likely that $50 a day would be very tight for lunch and for dinner. I mean, getting back to the differences between the hotels, which, so we don't get into talking about, $30 per day here and there, because I think it's important for people to understand, visualize, which can be difficult if you don't live there. So hang on a second. Let me just pull out this thing that I wrote and try to go over it just a little.
Are both of them near public transportation?
No. All right, let's try this fundamentally. The Emeryville Garden Hotel, the Emeryville Hotel is located in the city of Emeryville, which, again, is about 8 to 10 miles from downtown Berkeley. I don't believe it's 4. Maybe it is, but I've walked that distance. I think it's considerably more than that.
Yeah,
it is located on the far side of the 80 freeway. And it's in an area which is basically a chain strip. Basically, the hotel is located at a freeway off-ramp, and there are shopping malls that you can walk to, kind of. There are very large streets. The street in front of the hotel has four-lane traffic and has a big pedestrian prohibited sign. And the only public transportation available is the Emeryville shuttle, which you have to cross a very large pedestrian prohibited street to get to.
Hello?
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
I'm still here. Did somebody just join us?
Tracy, you there?
That was a double ding, so someone fell off. Double
yeah.
ding when they're leaving, singles when someone comes on.
Tracy? All right, she'll be back in a minute.
I'm going on the internet to see how far this is. So, LaVon, you're saying that you
yes.
agree with what Christine says here? It's 4.1 miles based on your experience from the station?
Well, I don't, you know, it's not my experience. They went online and they did the Google and stuff. So
okay.
when they put down 1.57, they mean 1.57. And when they put down 4.1, that's what they found it to be.
Right. Now, I'm not familiar with Durant, but I'm familiar with Hilton. And God forbid we should have another bug situation.
I went by the Hotel Durant. And it's actually, you know, it's a boutique hotel. It is like a great place. It has all the flavor of Berkeley. It has,
mm-hmm.
and the person who's running this, I mean, the person is really good. And, you know, it's really, you know, and plus it has, the restaurant is organic. It's like, it's a green hotel. They have, the trash can, it has four things in it for you to, like, you know, to put your trash, your compost, you know, the right thing. So it has all the things that, you know, everyone would love as a boutique hotel. And you know, and it's very lovely, and it was renovated. The thing is that the meeting, the conference room, the big one is for the public is about 768 square feet, and it's like rectangular. So it'll be kind of, I think, to put in our public in Berkeley, it would be a little small. But it is right in downtown Berkeley, so it's you know, it has the right flavor, it has everything there, it has restaurants nearby. But the conference room for the public is a little small. And I'm telling you, I loved it, but it's and also the other thing is that it's not union.
Right.
But we talked about that, and the person there asked everyone to go online, and they can see that the person who, it's like a, they own one hotel, and they're like a management team. That's what they manage the hotel.
Hi, LaVon. This is Tracy. I'm back. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, I'll let you go on.
We were talking about the isolation, and I just want to say, you know, that the Garden Inn is really not publicly transit accessible. And it is, in fact, difficult to leave the hotel premises. Okay, so we talked about the Hotel Durant. As LaVon pointed out, the location is good. Joie de Vivre Hotels is not a unionized firm. They have won some best company to work for awards, and it was a local company as well,
yeah.
rather than a Hilton chain. So that's kind of six of one, half a dozen of another. I think, actually, the Hilton Garden Inn is currently located, is currently owned by Chase Bank. Is what the salesperson told me. So, we'll have to kind of put the place in there. The concern is that the meeting room for the public meetings, the executive session room is actually a lot larger. But the public meeting room is only 768 square feet. That is 300 square feet smaller than the room that we would be using in Emeryville. And it will be a bit squished. I think it's possible, but it will be squished.
Do we know the actual dimensions of it? I mean, that's it
yeah.
could be 30 by 25 or...
No, it's 23 by 49, the Hilton, and the Durant is 16 by 48.
16
yeah.
by 48.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's almost twice as large, the Hilton.
So we'd have to have two...
The difference is 300 square feet. I saw the room at the Hilton. It was 1,127 square feet.
Yeah. 1,127. It's on the sheet.
Yeah. It's 127 square feet. and the Durant is 768. So, you know, it was a slight exaggeration on my part. So that's why I say it's almost twice the size.
Does anybody remember the size of the one in L.A., the public room?
I would suspect that that room was considerably bigger than both of these rooms. I suspect that what we normally use is about 1,200 plus square feet, 1,200 to 1,400 square feet. That's my guess. Because eyeballing the room at the Hilton, it is also smaller than the room that we normally use.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that said, I don't think it's impossible that we can fit. Yes, I will say that the executive session room at the Hilton is smaller than we normally use it. We have windows. So there's a trade-off there. But, of course, we spend more time in open.
Neil, what were the dimensions again? 16 by what?
It's the Durant 16 by 48, and the Hilton 48. Is 23 by 49.
Okay, so if we line the tables up the way we usually do, with a kind of narrow space in the middle, we'll have the same space, a little bit more space available for the public, but we'll have something like 16 by 30 by 28, let's say. We have 20 feet allowed for the tables. It sounds about right. So 16 by 28. That should do it.
Yeah, it's for the executive session. That's plenty large. That's for executive session.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the public room with 758 square feet.
Yes, 750. That's correct.
Yeah.
Right, for the
Durant. And it's 16 by 48.
Yes. You were talking about the public space. But I'm thinking it's close. I guess we have to weigh the pros and cons. If it's close to public transportation, I think that's very important. Now, LaVon, did they have any other rooms aside from the California room, or that was the only room they had?
Oh, you have that's true. Well, I went by there, so that's the largest room that they have.
Mm. Well, for me, this is kind of a no-brainer. I would go for the Durant, for the location, for the transportation, for the ambiance, for being, you know. And it sounds to me like there'll be enough room for people who want to come in for public comment. And as Nia points out, if you can't get there, it's going to suppress the crowd a lot. So I think that's anyway. That's my sense that we should just go with the Durant.
The thing. Let me just ask, because Tracy talked about the lunch and the breakfast. So what does the committee want to do for lunch and breakfast? Do you want to have, because the issue before was that people really did not want the food that the hotel provided. Now, again, let me just say, at the Durant, they have an organic cafe, organic restaurant, so that's what you will get. But the cost, you said, like here we have the cost for breakfast was $17 for 27 people, and at the Durant it's like $14.95 for 27 people. So you're saying that if we subtract the 17, you're saying it's 40, they would provide lunch for $42.85, so that's whatever the difference is, for seven people? Is that what they're offering at the Durant?
Right. I think she fell off. I heard the double ding. Yeah, she said $42.95 per person at the Durant for lunch. Yeah, and at the Hilton, it's $72.95.
Oh, that's
the difference.
And lunch. So, and I know for breakfast it was $17. So they're saying lunch is So that's like. $53, $55 for lunch, $72.95 minus 17 is like when you do on a cell phone. Okay. Sorry about that. $72.95.
And they don't use a microwave at the Durant, so that's good because I don't nuke my food. But if they're organic, I guess they wouldn't use a microwave, right?
have organic. I mean, I was really impressed myself. Okay, Monica, so you're saying lunch at the Hilton was
$75.95?
No, $72.95,
she said.
Well, we already had the breakfast down because we're going to get breakfast. So the breakfast was $17.
Right.
To get both of them were $72.95, so that means lunch was $55.95 per person, and lunch at the Durant is, she said the total is $42.
That's about
$30.
I think my main concern is that it's close to public transportation. Now, on here, it also says that the Hilton would provide us with transportation to the host site.
Right.
At Hilton. So now we have to take into consideration, we have to find drivers if we were to go to the Durant, although it's closer to the station, so that should not be too much of a hassle. People could go back and forth. It's a 5-minute drive. So to make two trips, it's almost the same distance as you would for one trip for the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
And at a mile and a half, if it's a nice day, a lot of people are going to want to walk, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be up in the Berkeley Hills on Arlington where Arlene is staying. So that's where the event will be. And if we go into Google and see the address on Arlington versus the Durant, and we can see how long. No, you will not be able to. And plus, it's a nice little check walk to the station. That 1.57 miles is 1.57 miles. So let me talk. Ask if these guys have left on the Hilton's at $55.95 for lunch. That's pretty steep.
Levon, I'm concerned where you're getting 55 from. I thought the breakfast would be one fee and the lunch would be another fee. But you're saying that the difference between the breakfast and the lunch, you're saying that where are you getting the 50-something dollars?
No, I think you're right, Nia. There's $17 for the breakfast and 72 some odd for the combination.
Right, so.
So it's about $50 for the just the lunch, which is a pretty steep lunch in my book.
That's an expensive lunch, $55.95. That's
really
a very expensive lunch. Versus, she says the Durant, it would be $28.20 for lunch.
A little steep for me also, but there it is.
It is organic. And then the other consideration again goes back to one of the reasons why we had that meeting in Walnut Creek was that they had initially booked the hotel that was not union, and there was this uproar about being in a non-union hotel, and that's why they booked that hotel out in Walnut Creek and had the meeting out there, and then the foundation had to pay a penalty. Like, I think Lynn said, like $10,000 for canceling the non-union hotel because they had, that's where they had booked it. So, you know, once we say that, Tracy says, this Durant Hotel, and this is what the people say too, you know, they've received awards for being one of the best places to work, although it's non-union. But, you know, you have to consider, you know, what if there will be uproar over that. And how we're going to handle it, and we can't book, and if there's going to be uproar, if we book the Durant, we can't, you know, like cancel because if we do, we will owe, you know, there we'll have to pay a fee for that.
Right. Could I? George, I guess you're sharing. George, Tracy's back. I hear one.
Tracy's back. Tracy, you there?
Sorry about that. I've not seen Tracy.
Yeah, I have a question, Tracy. Yeah, we made all the decisions while you were gone. Just kidding. do you think that we should maybe ask people to, I heard one more ding. Somebody else joined? to maybe if they could forego the 150 or take a little less if we were to choose the Durant, since LaVarne says it's organic. And is it gluten-free, yeast-free, and all that stuff, too? Maybe just to save money.
I'm sure they can do all of that.
Huh?
Well, what do you think? They can too. I'm pretty sure they can do. I don't know. We'd have to ask. They could do gluten free and stuff, but I know it is organic, and I know it's a green hotel.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about that?
I'm not quite sure what you're suggesting there.
That maybe we ask people to not take the $150 stipend, and then put this towards the food, but the.
Well, I think if we're going to pay for the food, we should certainly reduce the stipend.
I mean, not give the whole 150, and because the whole issue was people being allergic to certain things, and if it is organic, then everybody should be fine. This is going to add up to quite a chunk of change.
I agree. And I do think we should provide lunch in the hotel. It means that we're going to be able to start the meetings on time, probably. At least it's a lot easier than if people go out for a walk in the streets and they find a restaurant and they get back and whenever they get back. So
Trace, were they going to provide lunch for, like, Friday and Saturday? Tracy?
Did you guys dropped again?
That is what she said.
For a Friday and Saturday, so it would be the 28-20 per day. So what were you thinking, that asking the board to forego $50 and just get, instead of $150, get $100?
Something. That sounds about right to me.
Because, I mean, Richard has information on New York, and you know there's nothing cheap in New York. I think we better save that money for New York.
Okay, so you guys let us know what the decision is, and we can work with that. But we'll need to confirm that, because I didn't hear a number for an amount for lunch from the work that Lynn had done, or Lynn and Chris had done. So. And basically, let me tell you, I live here, so, I'm neutral. I'm neutral to the sense that I want it to cost less, but I have the issue, so I'm
okay,
like...
Okay, finally. Landline. There's no other way to do this tonight. Anyway.
Okay, so, I'm basically neutral, but I want the cost to be as low. I want the cost to be as low. And the whole issue with the union versus non-union, I don't know, Tracy, you know how our people are here, so we need to make sure that we're not going to get a blowback on that.
Okay, well, let me tell you a couple of my thoughts for what it's worth, which is that I do think it is going to be difficult to navigate... approximately 15 people from out of town. We're going to have limited cars. And again, it is a difficult location, and basically all meals will be pretty much on site unless we can organize a flotilla of 8 or so cars to transport people around. I just want us to take that into account if we go ahead and use that location. At the Hotel Durant, of course, people can navigate somewhat independently. In terms of the meeting room locations, again, we have to decide if 16 by 46 or whatever it is too small for us or not. On my eyeballing of it, it looked on the border, but doable. But I think it is very much on the border. In terms of the expense per day or per night, the difference in the food packages, and what I looked at was a breakfast and lunch package on Friday and Saturday and a breakfast on Sunday. The Durant did quote us $30 less per person for that breakfast and lunch package. Given that, the per diems would really only be for dinner, and I don't think we would need to pay each board member $150 because we would be feeding them twice a day. rather than only once. And again, dinner on your own would not be a logistical problem. If we are at Emeryville, we are looking at eating in one of two hotel restaurants or three hotel restaurants, two of which are technically in walking distance, although not necessarily for some board members, and there are really no other options within walking distance. And as we know, hotel restaurants are expensive. So I think it's basically a trade-off and a feeling. Of course, one is easier for the community to access as well. And I think one is located a little bit more in the community and less in terms of kind of a freeway off-ramp. But it's really a board decision in terms of what we think is the most constructive meeting environment for us. And I'm just trying as best I can to lay out what the pros and cons are because, as I said, I don't think they're financial primarily in nature. I think it's a question of what makes for a more conducive, productive board meeting, and what we have here is basically location versus more extensive meeting space, and I think that's where we have to make the decision.
This is Nia?
Yeah.
I move that the coordinating committee recommends to the PNB that the Hotel Durant in Berkeley, California be booked for the in-person meeting to be held July, was it 16th through 18th?
16th through 18th.
Yeah. With a reduction in stipend per director of, what should we say, $100 or $75?
I think the per diem needs would be the first night for dinner. And then on Saturday night, presumably, there's a station tour thing that gets taken care of. So I think it would only be one night's dinner and how, you know, whatever other incidental expenses. So I would say
lunch, 50 lunch 75. On Sunday.
Maybe lunch on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
For right now, the food plan that we talked about didn't provide lunch on Sunday. It also could.
Right. So you're saying to be reduced but in half or something like that? So rather than 150, they get 75?
I think under the circumstances, the right per diem is, yes, 50 to 75.
Yes.
I'm a little agnostic right now whether it's 50 or 75, but in that range.
Okay. I would say I could go with whatever, just to finish up the motion, I should say $50. If when we get the PNB, people think it's 75. But so let's say $50.
Let me just
because I sure can't remember what I said.
Why don't we stay with a per diem in the range of 50 to 75? Because I think part of it might depend on how much transport we get figured out, and
that's fine with me.
I think the only thing that needs to be decided by the PNB is the per diem. But I think we can make the recommendation to the ED that she go ahead and book this room. The PNB has, in my recollection, never voted on the hotels.
Okay, sorry, not aware of that. So, is there any discussion on Nia's motion?
Yeah, this is LaVarn. I do not recommend that we book it now because I think the fact that it's non-union, that the last experience that happened when we booked the hotel that was non-union, we had all of this blowback saying that how dare we do this and that we had to find another place out in Walnut Creek. So I would suggest that somehow that we run this by the PNB to say the hotel that we think, the Choice Hotel, is non-union, but it, like Tracy says, it's got this like top rating as far as personnel, and that, you know, and that we need you to know that this is what the fact is. Because we cannot afford to pay if we get all this negative stuff coming to us from the community, because we know how our community is here in Berkeley, and that then that will force us to like backtrack. That is not cost effective. Plus, we would have lost this Hilton. So I need the buy-in from the PNB, not just from us, like you're recommending with their buy-in that that they understand that this is non-union and that they will not back down.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let George address that in terms of what the mechanics are. But what I am going to say is that joie de vivre hotels are all over the Bay Area, and there are many, many meetings and things conducted in them on an ongoing basis. And we have used educational facilities and other places before that were not technically unionized. The Durant's main customer base is the University of California at Berkeley. They basically host people for university-related events because they're right across the street. That's their main customer base. The University of California is, of course, a unionized facility, but it feels comfortable having its meetings there and does on a regular basis in the city of Berkeley without significant blowback. I also think that a unionized hotel that is difficult for people to get to, that I think cannot legitimately be considered to have disability access by public transit, which I think legitimately is the case with the Emeryville Hotel, may also cause some blowback. I think there are certain people that will feel that PNB is hiding on the edge of town in a place that's difficult to get to. And I've heard that kind of feedback before. So what I want to put out is that blowback is possible under any set of circumstances. And we need to be fair to these vendors and not lose these spaces. They're hoping to hear from us fairly soon. So whatever mechanism that we use, I think it should be quick, reasonably quick. And,
so how do we do that?
And that the union, non-union issue is not the only issue here. There are other issues that could also cause blowback, and in the end, the question is what makes the most productive meeting.
And it seems to me that that's our decision. If there's blowback, it doesn't mean that we're forced to, to react to it. The point of having a union hotel is that the people who are working there will be decently treated. At least that's the presumption. From what I hear, the people here are decently treated. In fact, they get prizes for it. So it seems to me it's something I'm quite willing to stand pressure on. I understand that LaVarne not wanting to be out in the wind on this, and if the PNB sort of turns around on it somehow. But I doubt that that's going to happen, frankly. And the concern about not losing the space at the Durant, it seems to me, speaks to going ahead and approving it and just standing our guns. There's always going to be some people who don't like whatever you do. So and just standing our guns on it, that's all. That's my sense on it.
This is me?
Yeah.
I think you're probably off the phone, Tracy, when I said basically what you said, that there are pros and cons. If I think the main concern for people considering these economic times is the accessibility to the meeting. I think there isn't going to be a perfect situation because we don't have the money, obviously. But I think it has to be in a place where it is accessible to public transportation. If it's not union, then I think we can explain to people. I think people are reasonable and say, look, we had to make a choice. And the choice that we made is to make sure that you guys could get to the meeting. That, we thought, was a priority.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like that.
Sounds good to me. Again, it's just that, we need people to stick with the decision. We need the PNB to stick with the decision that we make, and that not to change because of any blowback on where we're meeting.
Got it.
I'm happy.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Again, with the meeting room scenario, both rooms are wired, internet and all the rest of it. I had asked Joe to go over and just eyeball the room and confirm my sneaking suspicion that we could fit, even though it's a bit tighter than what we normally do. And I don't know if he had a chance to do that.
He did. He sent us an email about it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he said...
being on the road. So what did he say?
The room is certainly large enough. It's much longer than it is wide, and the configuration means that most of the board members will be facing each other rather than the audience. But it can still work. It also has large windows, so lots of natural light. That's what he said.
Okay, that makes me feel better. Thank you.
Yeah, I went over there also. I went by there after lunch today. And
oh,
and I said, it's like that's when she told me it was a green building and organic cafe. I mean, I would not be standing there. I just want to make sure that the PNB is not going to back to any pressure about this being a non-union hotel. Because, like I said, I'm not standing there. It is going to be tight. So we are going to hear the criticism on the public meeting space. But you know, we just have to go with that. It is, you know, it does have the flavor of Berkeley, like Tracy said. It's primarily used by the university. But, you know, the university also runs the Lawrence Livermore Lab, so we can't go by the university and what they do.
Of course.
But, I love the place. I mean, you know, I just went by there to check on it, and when I saw it and I talked with the person, I mean, I absolutely fell in love with it. And I actually told the person that we will do some stuff there in the future. So, yeah, so great.
Yeah, yeah, it's basically a trade-off scenario, and we just had to kind of pick what we were going to trade and what we weren't. So thank you all for thinking about it. And I wish, and Lynn does too, I'm sure, that we could have offered the perfect space, but we just couldn't find it. Because I know
Tracy,
she looked very hard.
Thanks for taking it on and making it happen.
Yes, yes.
You're very welcome. So I guess what we're going to do from here is we're going to recommend to Arlene that the Durant is, you know, the set of pro and cons that we went with, and ask her to proceed with booking. And I believe that I gave her the name of the sales rep, but I'll make sure that they get in touch.
Okay.
And then I think it's just a question of dividing up with the national office what logistical things they want the board to handle. I know we have airport transportation as one of our projects. And which ones they want to handle themselves.
The national office? Yeah, you know, national office just, you know, whatever the decision is, we just need to know that it's all the things are taken care of. It's coordinated. So the way we did it with L.A., you know, we just had these little almost daily meetings, and, well, now we can have probably weekly meetings to see that there's an assigned person to take care of all of the things that need to be taken care of. So we need to have an initial meeting probably, like, as soon as Arlene makes this decision, and that I would still like to be assured that the board supports this, and Arlene can make decision that the board supports this issue of the non-union hotel. Because, again, you know, things are repeated, lessons are repeated until they're learned. The last time, that's why they met out of Walnut Creek, because they got all of this stuff saying that it was non-union, and we had to pay like a $10,000 fee for canceling. So I need the board to support this decision.